is David Alemian, and he's a financial services professional who is nationally recognized in the top 1% of the industry. He started his career in Boston in 1995, and he's built a practice which includes public sector and private companies, as well as individual clients. Each of you, for example, could call him or email him for questions. He now specializes in helping families develop strategies to pay for college tuition without relying on financial aid. These strategies are not what you'd find surfing the net. They come from combining several techniques that utilize a very specific and customized approach with each and every family. David is currently co-authoring a book with best-selling author Marion Snow, who wrote Stop Sitting on Your Assets. It's my pleasure to welcome. Please give a big round of applause for David Alemian.
Thank you. How's everybody today?
I'm David Alemian, and I want to thank everybody for taking time out of your day. We're going to talk about college funding, and when you make too much money, how do you do it? About this program, the information that we're going to talk about is not readily available on the web. You won't find it just surfing the internet. We're going to talk about how to avoid common mistakes that people make that can cost you tens of thousands of dollars. We're going to talk about proven techniques that can save you thousands of dollars, tens of thousands. And finally, how to form a realistic plan to keep your life stress-free financially, because college can do that to you, and now and or in the future. And I mean that because not only is it paying for college now if you have children about to attend college or in college, but how is it going to affect your retirement? Because college comes along for most parents at what you might call an inconvenient time, when most people start to think about college, about retirement, along comes this great, big, overwhelming bill called college tuition. And just a question. How many people here, let me ask just so I know, how many have just one child they have to put through college? Okay. And that isn't easy, is it? Anybody have two? Anybody have three? Good. Anybody have more than three? Four? Okay. We're going to talk about this. The numbers we're going to talk about in general are going to be for one. So if you got two, then you just might as well just double it. And if you have three, you could triple it. College is expensive. Average public university, $14,000. Average private, $28,000. Elite private colleges can be $40,000. And if you haven't saved for college, you may also have a retirement issue. I mean, how old will you be when the last child graduates from college? How old? And how are you going to fund your own retirement when you're paying for college? For a lot of people, that's a really difficult thing to do. College dollars, they equal retirement dollars lost. If your child is going to a public school and it was going to cost $70,000 for the 4 years, if you're 15 years from retirement, it's probably going to impact you at $167,762. 20 years, $224,000. That assumes a 6% investment rate, because if you're not putting, anything you're putting toward college isn't going to retirement. And 6% is low. And that's one child in college, and that's after-tax dollars. College is paid for with after-tax dollars, which means if you're in the 25% tax bracket, that $70,000 school is really going to cost you. You have to earn $100,000. If it's a private school and you're in the 35% tax bracket, $233,000. Now that, by the way, is assuming a 5% state and local tax, and we're in California. So it's even bigger than that. Three books you should read. The Retirement Savings Time Bomb by Ed Slott, Missed Fortune 101 by Doug Andrews, and Stop Sitting on Your Assets by my friend Marion Snow. All of the things I'm going to talk to you about, or some of the techniques I should say, you'll find in these books. Now, facts you should know. Excuse me? Oh, sure. Let me know when you're all set. All of them are good. If you want one, if you were to pick one to start with, I would take Stop Sitting on Your Assets. It's an easy read. It's actually a fun read. And it's a real eye-opener for a lot of people. Okay, facts you should know. 1946 to 1962 was the baby boom. And the baby boomers, the first wave of them turned 60 years old this year. And in 10 years, they're going to be age 70, and they will be required by law to take a minimum distributions on their IRAs. Now, what's all this got to do with college? You're going to see in a minute. Now, it's the law. Did you know? According to the Census Bureau, 7,918 baby boomers will turn age 60 every day in 2006. That amounts to 330 of them an hour. In 10 years, at age 70 and a half, by law, almost 2,890,000 people will start pulling money out of the markets. This is not a question of maybe they will. This is the law, or they're going to lose their money. The IRS will take it. 15 years from now, by law, 14 million will be pulling money out of the market. And 20 years from now, approximately 28 million people will be pulling money out of the market. And in 20 years, just as you're about to retire, say, it's assuming you're approximately mid-40s or so, what's going to happen? This is your future. The first wave of baby boomers will be between 75 and 80 years old. The market is very likely going to be down because of the vast sums of money that are being pulled out of it, because the baby boomers are going to be required to take their minimum distributions. Now, just to let you know how much money that is, it's huge. Do you know, here's an interesting statistic. There is more money in all of the qualified plans in this country than in all of the equity of every home in America. The equity of every home in America probably adds up to somewhere around 9-point-some-odd trillion, and that was at the peak of the market. All of the money in the qualified plans is about 14-point-something trillion. So it's a huge amount of money that's going to come out of those markets. So your 401k that you were counting on to retire could have gone down, or might go down, I should say. And the aging baby boomers are going to be drawing on Social Security, which we already know is already broken. And their bodies are breaking down, and they're putting a strain on Medicare. And with fewer people in the workforce, the question is, how will the government pay for this? Because the government made a promise to the people, and the government will fulfill its promise. But let me ask a question. Who here has any idea how the government might pay for this? Did I hear the tax word? The government will fulfill its promise at your expense. They'll raise taxes on your 100% taxable IRA. Now, here's what the problem with that. Your IRA or 401k may have shrunk a bit because the market went down. And now when all of that money as you take it out is taxable, it shrinks even more if taxes go up. You see, the government, they didn't tax the seed that was your qualified plan. What they wanted to do is tax what you're pulling out. The accumulation stage. Now, what would you rather do? Pay tax on a great big huge harvest or a little tiny seed? That's the question. Little tiny seed, right? Now, so what does that mean? What are your options? And this is why I'm bringing all of this up. Because college comes along right at the time when you should be looking at retirement. But now we have to pay attention to college because we want to put our kids through school, right? It's a problem. It's a serious problem. Should you fund college first, fund retirement first, or fund them both simultaneously? Anybody have an answer? What's that? The answer is C, fund them both simultaneously because one affects the other. You want to be able to fund college without creating a financial burden now and or in the future, right? Now, what we want to do is we want to link college and retirement together. What we want to do is, here's a concept, lower the overall cost of college. Raise cash flow, because that's what it creates, is a cash flow problem, is what college does. And we want to utilize this raised cash flow to fund immediate short-term college needs, because we need the money now, and long-term retirement needs. And finally, how would you like to get back the money that you spent on college? That would help retirement, wouldn't it? Absolutely. We want to recover the money spent on college before we retire. Now, there are cash flow strategies. What are they? Some of them are cost reduction, debt consolidation, tax strategies, and mortgage management. There are financial aid opportunities. Now, I'm not talking about needs-based financial aid. I'm talking about institutional grants. Basically, they amount to discounts on tuition. Asset recovery. That's recover the money spent on college before retirement. And we want to link the strategies together. Cash flow strategies would be personal budget strategies, mortgage strategies, investment strategies, asset restructuring, debt restructuring. I mean, when was the last time somebody put together basically a financial game plan for life? Mortgage strategies, for example. What happens? Many people, they turn around and they go and they refinance their home to put their child to college, right? Okay. And say maybe you're 50 years old. Now you got a 30-year mortgage. Now what do you do? Because that takes you to age 80 before it's paid off. That can be a problem, a huge problem for a lot of people. Because what happens is many people say, well, I'm not going to retire at age 65. But everybody wants to, or earlier. I mean, I don't know a lot of people who want to just work until they die. But that's the position that many people find themselves in. They turn around, they look at themselves, and they go, what happened? Okay, remember, now there's 529 plans and tax education credits. Now, 529 plans, they're good. But if we've got a last-minute situation, it doesn't do us a lot of good. Excuse me? I could spend a whole lot of time on them. It is a savings. It's a tax-advantaged savings plan for college. However, if you use one, I mean, it's good if, you know, your child's 5 years old. However, there are some great big potholes in the road with a 529 plan. Some of them for example, you would lose the Hope and Lifetime Learning tax credits. If you use the 529 plan, you can't take the tax credit. And we're not talking about deductions here. We're talking about an actual tax credit. That's a dollar-for-dollar thing. That's real money, and it adds up. The IRS penalizes you if you do not spend the 529 plan correctly. And here's how easily you can fall into a trap. Real-life story. A couple. They wanted to, their child was going to school. They had a 529 plan. They had money in the 529 plan. So they bought their child a laptop computer, spent $1,800 on it, bought the latest and greatest. Now, a laptop, would you say you need that for school today? Who would say you don't need one? I don't see any hands going up. Well, the IRS disallowed the $1,800 spent on the laptop computer because it came out of the 529 plan. Now, why would they disallow that? Well, it's for college, obviously. The reason they disallowed it was because the school did not require the child to have a laptop as a condition of enrollment. So not only did they buy the computer, but they lost all that money in penalties and interest from the IRS. And finally, 529 plans, they're good, but they should only be a small part of an overall plan. This is saying you have very young children and you're doing long term. Financial aid opportunities, need-based aid, tuition discounts, creative borrowing, other cost-cutting ideas, and by the way, I have some available for you that I can email to you. I have an ebook that has 153 cost-cutting strategies. No matter where you fall on the spectrum of finances, there's something in there that'll help people, and if you'd like one, I can email it to you. Academic strategies and marketing strategies, and we're going to learn how to put all of these together to a complete plan. Now, choosing the right school. Here's an interesting thing. Did you know more than 50% of students take 5 to 6 years to get a four-year degree? Now, eliminating 2 extra years of tuition could significantly cut the overall cost, couldn't it? How do we do that? Well, many times I'll sit with a couple and they have a child about to enter school, and I'll say, well, great, where does your child want to go to school? And they say, I don't know. I said, did you ask? Yeah, they don't know. What do they want to study? Not really sure yet. What do they want to do when they get out of school? Have no idea. Does this sound familiar to anybody? How about how many people do you know that are in a career that has nothing to do with what they went to school for? Yes. So how could we avoid that? Because what happens is many times a student will be going to school and midstream decide they want to change schools. And some of these courses and credits can't be transferred to the new school. And it could be for a number of reasons. Maybe complete different career direction. But it could be maybe this, the personality and atmosphere of the school doesn't match the personality of the child. So what could we do? We could give our child a Myers-Briggs personality test to help determine career direction. It's just a starting point, but it helps greatly. It would also now career direction helps determine college major, and college major will help determine your choice of schools. In other words, you want to choose the right school, because what that will do is maximize your chances that 4-year degree is a 4-year degree and not a 5 or 6-year degree. Does this make sense?
Yes. Okay.
Tuition discounts. School, colleges, it's a business. They're nonprofit, but they're about as nonprofit as General Motors. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here next year. It costs money. And due to competition, colleges offer tuition discounts. Now, they publicly do not offer these tuition discounts. Only the very elite private schools do not offer them. And what we want to do is position a student to basically achieve these discounts. Now, how can we know if a student is going to be eligible for a discount? Well, start right off the top. Student needs good grades. Minimum grade point average of 3.5. SATs, minimum 1250 or 24. If it's not there, forget it. It's not going any further. A solid resume of achievement. Good video resume is always very helpful. Apply early in the academic year. Here's why. College admissions offices are under a lot of pressure to fill their rosters early in the year. When I say early in the year, I mean September, October, November of the preceding year. They're under a lot of pressure to fill their roster. We want to apply to schools that compete for the same students. And we want to apply to schools that have a low yield factor, and I'll explain that in a minute. And we want to apply to 6 to 8 colleges. And when we have 6 to 8 colleges, what I mean by that is you want these 6 to 8 schools to be competing for the same students. And that way, it maximizes our chances of getting something. Now, what's a yield factor? A yield factor is not so much how many students apply to a school and are accepted. The yield factor is up here. In this school, say Albright College, for example, 1,752 applied. 1,515 were admitted. Out of those 1,515 that were admitted, only 393 actually enrolled. So the yield factor is 26%. It is the ratio between who's admitted and who actually enrolls. That's the yield factor. This, by the way, is all information that you can get on the net. And we can use that to our advantages. Why? Because a school that has a low yield factor is under more pressure to admit more students and more likely to offer a tuition discount. I'll give you an example. Columbia University. Tuition and fees, room and board, travel, others, about $35,000 a year. Over here we have Columbia University grant. What was that? A discount. In this case, $10,500 in the fall, $10,500 in the spring, for a total of $21,000. And adding a little bit of some loans and work study, total is $26,000. Rather than $35,000 for the whole thing, the parents' contribution was $9,400 for the year. Not bad. Now, Emory University. Notice this here. First notice, it says, up in the corner. Here in the corner here. The grant was $9,000. Down here where it says Emory College grant. $4,500 in this fall, $4,500 in the spring. You can respond to that first notice. And in some cases, look at this. Second notice. Now look where it is in red, Emory College grant. They upped it to $19,000. It went from $4,500 in this fall and spring to $9,500 in the fall and spring. So whenever you get one of these letters, always respond to it. Okay, paycheck to paycheck. There's a lot of, many families, it's expensive to live. These, by the way, are numbers pretty typical. A current mortgage payment of $1,995. Credit card bills of $800, credit card payments of $800, auto payments of $400. With total monthly payments of $3,195. Remember, many parents do not have a tuition problem. What they have is a cash flow problem. And that's how we're going to look at some of this. How should this family pay for college? Basically, they're coming up about $65 a month short at the end of the month. How do we know? And right here, the $20,000 current balance on the credit card is always a hint that we might end up somewhere around there. Concept of mortgage management. This is a big piece of what we're going to talk about here. What if we could put the equity in our home to work for us to help pay for college and put it back? Now, the equity in your home is earning no interest at all. What if we simply moved it to a safe, secure, and stable investment-grade life insurance? Now, investment-grade life insurance is different than ordinary life insurance. It's not to be confused with traditional life insurance. The money will grow tax-deferred between 7 and 9%. It'll give us a death benefit to protect the family. It's going to give us tax-free retirement income down the road, mortgage protection, God forbid something happens to the family, emergency increased cash flow, emergency funds, control over your money, lawsuit protection, and disaster protection. Now, we can take cash out for college and cash in for retirement. And here's what I mean by that. What if we took all of this and we refinanced it into a new mortgage or maybe even a line of credit? Lines, if you can do it with a line of credit rather than a complete refinance, it's better. Why? Because many lines of credit don't cost anything and there's no points or anything attached to them. Now, the new payment is $2,511. We have an increased cash flow of $683. Now, by the way, whenever I work with clients, it's always on based on the numbers are based on their budget. And towards the end here, by the way, I'm going to show you a real-life case study based on a family that was, you wouldn't think on the outside that they were having a problem, but when you see all the numbers, and then you'll like the result of what this can do. Making it all happen. Equity cash out. Say we did $45,000 in debt consolidation and get rid of the credit cards, get rid of the auto payments, and we took $200,000 and we put it into an immediate five-year annuity. The annuity would pay $25,000 a year for 4 years for college, $100,000. Done. We don't have to worry about college anymore. Now, the other $100,000 was paid into investment-grade life insurance for 5 years. Now forget about it and just let it sit there until retirement. We're halfway there. But remember, we took all of this money out of the home and we want our home free and clear. So at the same time, we have what's called a mortgage accelerator. This is, by the way, the type of program that I'm working on with Marion Snow in the next book. Mortgage accelerator pays off the mortgage in 8 to 11 years, which means, and the equity indexed universal life policy is going to give this family $120,000 a year in tax-free income from age 70 to age 100. No matter what the government does, this is why I was talking about the government earlier, no matter what the government does to taxes, it will not affect this income here. No matter what happens to your 401k, IRA, or any qualified plan, this will still remain at $120,000. We had typical parents, age 40. By the way, in this particular case and in all of them, the family doesn't spend any more money than they were spending before. We did it on their budget. As a matter of fact, in many cases, they end up spending less so they don't have a cash flow problem in the future. The original cost of college was going to be $25,000 or $100,000. The retirement fund was $100,000, and so the mortgage management was $200,000. Plus the $45,000 that we got rid of for the debt consolidation. And it's a picture, it just described everything what we talked about in the slide before. Here's another one. Structuring it a little bit different. What we did with this one, same family, but a slightly different situation based on their finances. We consolidated the debt. We took $140,000 cash out for college. They had two students going to school. And we put into an annuity to pay for school. And the savings, we saved $958 a month because we consolidated debt. And we used that to fund this mortgage accelerator, to pay off the mortgage quickly, and to fund retirement. Now, beforehand, this family was in financial trouble. Why? Because they were struggling. They were probably looking at refinancing and not able to pay off their home before they retire. We took $140,000 out. We put into a CD or the annuity. It doesn't matter. And it paid $35,000 a year for college for 4 years, $140,000. This $958 that we freed up from cash flow, we put into a retirement hedge fund to protect us against those tax increases that are definitely coming, to age 65, meaning they weren't spending 10 cents more than they spent before. Look what happens. College is paid off, the home gets paid off, and they have $177,000 tax-free from age 70 to age 100. That's every year, by the way. Now, that's a fantastic amount of money. Wouldn't you agree? Absolutely. But if you add up 958, multiply it times 12, times 25, it comes to $200,000. It's going in there over a period of 25 years. It's growing tax-deferred. And then the key is when we pull it out, we're taking it out tax-free because life insurance, investment-grade life insurance, is the only product that allows us to do that. Everything else, whenever we earn interest, we have to pay tax on that interest. This allows us to do it without paying any tax on interest, and it protects you. It also protects your children's future, too, because let me ask a question here. How many people know someone who has their retired parents living with them because their parents can no longer afford that, or they're helping parents? Anybody know anybody like that? Absolutely. This is protecting not only your future, it protects your children's future, because the last thing anybody wants to do is become a burden on their children in the future. Here's a real-life case study. This is a client of mine, June of 2006. The mother was age 48. She's an occupational therapist, earns $95,000 a year. The father, age 52, vice president of finance for a manufacturer. So this is a man who understands numbers. And when I talked to him about something like this, it made sense to him. It made perfect sense to him. His income was $102,000. So with her making $95,000 and he's making $102,000, what problems could they possibly have, right? Right? Okay. I asked him when he thought he would be able to retire. He told me age 70, but based on the look in his eye and the tone of his voice, he didn't really believe it. I asked her when she would like to retire. She said, I'd really like to retire at age 60, but I don't think I'm going to be able to. I think I'm going to have to work till I'm 65. And she's an occupational therapist. Oh, she has arthritis. She doesn't want to work till age 65. Now, this particular couple, they filed for bankruptcy 6 years ago because the father lost his job. By the way, when we put this money into something like investment-grade life insurance, we have access to it, which gives the family a financial safety net. I can't stress the importance of a financial safety net enough. This might not have happened had they had a financial safety net. Many people are going through life, their entire world revolves around someone else's whim, whether or not they're going to, you know, their employees are going to remain an employee. Many people, actually, the most common cause of foreclosure in this country up until the mortgage crisis was disability. Number two cause of foreclosure was loss of job. That's because most people do not have a financial safety net. Now, if they don't have a financial safety net and something happens to the parent's occupation, how stable is that child's college future or college education? That money isn't very stable either. So we want to create a financial safety net. Now, moving back. The mother had been in her job for 22 years. The father, mother, and daughter each have long commutes driving every day. They spend $1,800 a month on gasoline. Wow, think about that next time you go to the pump. The daughter, she's 17. She goes to a private high school. She's a senior in high school this year, as we speak. The school costs $10,000 a year. She's chosen 12 colleges she's interested in attending. The average tuition for these colleges is $25,000 a year. The son is age 20. He just completed his freshman year in school, and although he's bright, his grades were poor. He simply didn't knuckle down enough. He's going to have to repeat several classes, and he'll now take at least 5 years to obtain his four-year degree. Cost of college, $18,000 a year. Here's a financial picture. Here's a financial snapshot of this couple. Their home was valued at $900,000 to $1 million. Zillow online had it at $886,000. Their first mortgage was $525,000. They had a line of credit of $125,000. They'd already spent $100,000 of it. It was already gone. There was only $25,000 left on it. They had two auto loans totaling $35,000 and credit card debt of $40,000. This usually tells me that someone is having a cash flow problem. Their mortgage payments were $3,450. Their line of credit was costing them $700 a month. Auto loans a little over $1,000. Their credit cards at $700 a month. Now, this $700 a month and this $700 a month, that was the interest only, meaning it wasn't going away. and gasoline was $1,800 a month. Life insurance. She had $75,000 whole life policy. There was $125,000 on him. Had a cash surrender value of about $20,000. And they were spending $250 a month on it. Meaning, God forbid something happened to either of these two, the survivors would have serious financial problems. Why? Because half that $200,000 or so income was going to go away. And there wasn't enough to take care of all of this. The mother had $20,000 in her 401k. That's it. Remember, she's 48 and he's 52. The husband had nothing in retirement. There were no other investments. And they had no emergency savings. And this is a couple earning $200,000 a year. What's the solution? What do you do? Well, what we did was we took $317,340 cash out of the home, the equity. We put it to work for him. And we surrendered that life insurance policy of $20,000. And what we did was we got rid of the credit card debt, got rid of the auto loans, and the $100,000 line of credit. Gone. We just increased cash flow significantly. We reduced the... Now, then we still needed more cash flow, though. Now, when I work with a couple, I look at this holistically. I look at everything. In other words, if we need to free up cash, because basically cash flow is almost always the problem when trying to put your child to school. Getting a loan is no problem. People will give you a loan in a second. Paying it back is the problem. We needed to free up some money. Well, there was $1,800 that was going down the drain in gasoline every single month. Well, we reduced it easily. Actually, I think it got reduced down to $1,200. I think it was actually reduced more, but I'm always conservative in my numbers. Because the children are going to be at school and not commuting. And I suggested to the parents that they pay for their own gasoline when they're at home and using a vehicle. That will encourage them to go take a ride with their friends or have their friends split gas with them when their friends ride with them, just like we did when we were kids. Absolutely.
Why does number 317,340?
Excuse me?
Why that particular number?
Because that was adding up their bills, all of their bills, and the auto loan, the credit card debt, and the college tuition. That's what it came out to.
Why not more?
Why not more? Well, we were pretty much hitting the just almost knocking on the ceiling at that point already, and we didn't need more. I don't want somebody to borrow more than they really have to. And by the way, I'm not in the loan business or mortgage business. You know, in other words, we're just trying to make this thing work. Could they have borrowed a little more? Possibly. But they were pretty much at the limit right there. And it was enough to do the job, especially when we had the extra $20,000 here in life insurance. And there was no need to go further into debt. What I wanted to do, the goal here is the goal, pay for college, pay off the debts, retire debt-free, owning your home free and clear with no mortgage, and having income that you cannot outlive. It will last your entire lifetime. That was the goal, and this is what we're doing. We took $154,000 for college tuition, and we put it into a five-year SPIA, that single premium immediate annuity. College is secure, safe, no matter what happens. These kids are going to school. By the way, the daughter was brilliant, is brilliant. She probably won't have to spend the $25,000 a year because she'll probably get a tuition discount. I based my numbers when I was putting together this program for this couple on her not getting a tuition discount, on them having to pay the full thing. That way, any money that they saved with a tuition discount, they would be able to do what they want with, put it toward their retirement, take a vacation, do what you want to do. Single premium immediate annuity. That's, we would take the $154,000 and we buy an annuity, which is an insurance product. And it will pay out each year the money how we want it to go, in however amounts we want over a five-year period. $100,000 went for the daughter's college. I do not know the name of the high school she presently attends. That was a note that I made to myself. And $54,000 went to the son's college. By the way, that's subtracting the $18,000 from the first year that he went, that basically he blew the first year because the parents and I had a discussion. We figured it'd be better if he paid for the school, the courses that he didn't pass. Yes?
Who would be the owner of the annuity?
The parents. No, has nothing to do with that. She wanted to know if they would have, who the question is, who would be the owner of the annuity, and would they have to pay a penalty because they were not age 59 and a half? Is that, did I state that correctly? The 59 and a half rule is pulling money out of your 401k or IRA, and many IRAs are annuities, but they're qualified plans. This would not. This would be a non-qualified plan. You can put any kind of money into an annuity, a non-qualified annuity, and pull the money out and have it pay out any way that you want. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, but I thought all annuities,
you have to be 59 and a half. That's if it, you thought that with any annuity, you had to be age 59 and a half. The reason is because that a very common use for an annuity is for a 401k rollover into an IRA. And they were, people are using an annuity as a vehicle for their IRA, individual retirement account. We're not using the annuity for that. We're simply putting money there so it's safe, it'll grow in interest while it's sitting there, and then pay it out. It's also, by the way, protected when it's in an annuity like that from any kind of lawsuit or anyone else getting it. So it protects the money as well. Does that answer your question? Okay. You can use an annuity for many different things. Anyway, and as I said, the daughter will very likely have a lower tuition due to tuition discounts because of her grade point average of 3.5 and 1,800 on her SAT scores. Any money saved can go into the money merge account, by the way. I forgot to mention that. That is the mortgage accelerator that I prefer, and I'll get to that in a second. Okay, here's the solution. Open a money merge account, a mortgage accelerator. Now, what is a mortgage accelerator? A mortgage accelerator, very quickly and very briefly, is any vehicle that pays off your mortgage quickly. It could be a biweekly mortgage. Those work. That'll pay off your average mortgage in a 30-year mortgage in about 22 years. There's paying a little bit extra each month. That helps. Problem with that is you never know when the mortgage is exactly going to be paid off. And there are several others. The one that now, they've been around for a long time. The latest and greatest generation of mortgage accelerators is known as a money merge account. It is a software, and it's a program. You're in control of your money, it pays off the mortgage. But the wonderful thing about it is it pays off, the average 30-year mortgage gets paid off in about 8 to 11 years. That's huge. That is fast. Combined with refinancing or taking a line of credit and adding that to your mortgage when you're age, say, 40 to 50 or older or whatever, when you're trying to pay off your mortgage before you retire, it's a very powerful vehicle because most people want to pay off their mortgage before they retire. Wouldn't you agree? Absolutely. Now, we open the money merge account, which is the mortgage accelerator. In their case, because we had so much debt to deal with, and because of it would pay off the mortgage in 19 years. Basically, age 71, they would own their home free and clear. We consolidated the debt, and it was an extra $2,150 that we put into a universal life insurance policy, equity indexed UL, the investment grade life insurance, to age 70, and then he stops paying. It gave him $1 million death benefit. So if something happened to him, the family had real protection. Remember, we're not spending any more money than we're already spending. And if they wanted a little more cash flow, we could have lowered this number a little. But here's what happens. It turns out we didn't need to, and we kept it here. He can now retire at age 70. They own their home free and clear. and they have $100,157 tax-free retirement income from age 70 to age 100. That $100,000 plus a year is equivalent approximately to $133,000 in annual income, assuming a 25% tax bracket. Now, I ask you, is this family here in better shape now, or were they in better shape before? Absolutely, they're in better shape now because they have a plan.
So that $2,150 that they're using to pay into that, how is that money available to them? Is that the money they saved from paying down their debt?
Correct. What we did was we pulled equity out of the home. We got rid of the credit card debt, which was, there was $700 that was going out the window there. There was $700, another $700 a month. That was $1,400 a month total between the two of when they're paying their line of credit. That was only touching the interest. That wasn't even getting rid of the principal. Then there was a little over $1,000 going toward their auto loans. And then we got picked up another $600 reducing the gas. So we still gave them plenty of money to live on, covered all of their bills, basically did debt consolidation, and we did it smart. And we put enough money in to get rid of the mortgage at the time that he wanted to retire. Yes, you have a question.
I'm trying to understand where the additional cash is coming from to go to the mortgage accelerator.
It's divided up. Correct. Into, or kind of call it a retirement hedge fund.
Right. Okay. But then, where is the money coming from to pay the mortgage?
Good question.
Two separate.
Yeah. Exactly. We had. Remember, we have $200,000 in income. All right. We took their total income, and their monthly income. At working after tax, and we simply work backwards. And we start with paying off the mortgage, and we start with paying all their bills and their household bills and so on. And then what's left over when it's all said and done was the $2,150, and that's how we got, how we picked, chose that number. That included money, that included discretionary income to fund the mortgage accelerator. I could have sped this up from 19 years down to 15, down to 12, if that's what they wanted, and lower this number. But what they wanted was, they wanted to have, we had no problem with retiring at age 70, 71, right around there, as long as he could. But what he needed was, he needed income to live on as well. And that's a very nice tax-free income when you don't have a mortgage to pay or any other bills. That make sense? Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
a separate product. That's a separate piece. Exactly. I don't recall that number offhand, off the top of my head. But I can get it for you if you'd like. What we did was, it's all out of income. Basically, we started with their income, their after-tax income, and we just basically started paying the bills, starting with the mortgage, starting with and so on. Remember, we no longer have credit cards to pay for. We no longer have autos to pay for, and so on, because they're all taken care of, and we have. And we have the mortgages is all paid for.
Is there any provision for future credit card or automobile?
Absolutely. Well, here's the best part. The key here is also not to get in trouble again. When you have this particular, and I could spend an hour on just this one thing here, this gives us a huge financial safety net so that we don't have to go to the credit cards every single month anymore. And that's the nice thing about it. The key here is to get out of debt, stay out of debt, and build an income. And that's what we've done here. Solving the dilemma, education funding and retirement funding. how can I determine the most efficient and safe? Remember, we want to do this safely. And that's why I like the types of things that we were talking about, because they were safe, secure, and stable. The safe way to fund college and retirement without financial stress. We did not change their present lifestyle. What we want to do is develop a cash flow game plan that increases income, reduces taxes, reduces expenses, and that's what we did. How? We fund retirement and college simultaneously. What the mistake a lot of people do is they pay for college first, and then they start thinking about retirement, and then it's too late. We link the two strategies. We use proper mortgage and equity management. And basically, we let the IRS fund part of our college expenses. And we do that by linking the retirement and college strategies together, because those products that we were talking about are tax-deferred, meaning we don't have to pay taxes on the interest. And when the money comes out tax-free. So the money, our money is not going to the IRS. And finally, we want to market the student to colleges properly so that we can achieve, if it's possible, tuition discounts. Now, how can we help? We can help you develop a game plan that's right for you, qualify for financial aid. When we say financial aid, I'm talking about tuition discounts. Reduce your taxes, increase your cash flow, market your student, minimize your debt, college loans, and recover money spent before you retire. By the way, one other thing. All of these techniques that I've shown you, people who are strapped with old college debt, many times I'll run into parents that they're still paying off their loans. These same techniques can be used to make those go away as well. Now, if anyone would like a complimentary consultation, happy to do that for you. By the way, if you fill out your forms that you have in front of you and hand them in, I have a drawing here. This is an autographed football by Fran Tarkington. If any football fans at home, they would love this. Fill it out, because I'm going to give that away in a little bit. Now, the college funding packet is something that I can send you. It has college front page. That is every home page of every school and university in America. College calendar, what the students should be doing their freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, and senior year in high school to prepare. College search navigator, how to find the right school. College selection navigator, how to pick the right school. College visitation. Now, what these are PDF files. I'll give you an example in the college admissions. When someone goes to visit a school with their child, other than walking around the campus, what do you really do? This is a list of all the questions you should be asking people from the and who you should be asking, the heads of departments and so on. The right kind of questions, and also what questions you should be asking just random students that you run into, not just the showroom models that they want you to talk to. College admissions navigator. This is invaluable. This is questions that you can ask the college admissions office. What criteria do they use, and do they look for when looking for students? This helps you maximize your chances for getting tuition discounts. There's also a cost containment section with merit scholarships that are offered by colleges. There's a free scholarship search. There's a link to one of those. College funding ebooks, financial analysis section with college loans, and a personalized college funding financial analysis. And that's something I can do for anyone here. All you need to do is ask, and it's of no cost or obligation to anyone. Remember, fill out your evaluation form so that I can give away this. Fran Tarkington, by the way, is a friend of mine. He also is in the retirement business. He put himself through college, by the way, in the insurance business. Then he spent 18 years in the NFL, longer than any other quarterback in the NFL. And he's a really nice guy. Feel free to call me with any questions that you may have. Most questions I can answer in just a couple of minutes. Really easy, really simple. Or email me your questions. I'm happy to help you there as well. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, David, there are some questions.
Oh, good.
Okay, so see if I understand.
Okay.
And what you're saying is that by paying off their auto, paying off their charge card debt, and between the savings from that and the annuity payout from their 5-year insurance policy, that all of that combined made the payment to the bank for the cash out equity of the $317,000, because they still have to come up with the money to pay the bank.
Yes, absolutely. It's the way the mortgage accelerator works.
Okay.
What it does is it basically, it attacks the principal of your mortgage using a home equity line of credit.
My understanding of the accelerator is that the payments go up as well. So not only are you dealing with increased payments to pay it off faster, but that's why I'm wondering, where's the money? How's it all adding up?
Very simple. Good question. Actually, not quite that simple, but I'll try and answer it as easily as I can. And if you'd like, possibly later on, you and I might get together and I can send you some information. A money merge account, and this is why it's called a money merge account, it merges two financial instruments of the bank and utilizes two banking rules. Here's the key. Your mortgage, the way they calculate the interest, they do it once a month based on what your interest rate is and what you owe. A line of credit, a HELOC, is completely different. That they take an average daily balance, and then they calculate it for that. The Money Merge software monitors all of this, including their bills. Okay, follow me so far? All right. What it does, all the software wants to know, and we put all this information into the software, is loans, debts, income, and so on, interest rates and everything. That's all it wants to know is how much is coming in, how much is going out. And it tracks all of this. By the way, this software took 2 years and $2 million to develop. It was not a little thing. But what it does is it turns around and it says, it tells you when to pay what. This month, send your regular payment to the bank. Next month, send your regular payment to the bank. The third month, it might say, send $5,000 from that home equity line of credit to the bank and apply it to the principal. And then the following month, you go back to the regular routine. I'll give you an example. A $200,000 mortgage at 6%. If you took $5,000 out of that home equity line of credit and put it toward the principal of that $200,000 mortgage, it would save about $23,000 in interest payments and knock somewhere around 23 months off of the length of that mortgage. Now, it also, remember, the software is tracking everything, including our income. What we're doing is the software has us use this equity line of credit to pay all of our bills. And it also tells us how big this equity line of credit should be. I know, this is getting confusing. Okay, all right, you follow me. Okay, good. Now, say, for example, a family has $5,000 coming in, income, and then there's $5,000 going out. What is my average daily balance? Zero. That's how much interest I'm going to pay on that line of credit. Yet, what I did was I saved somewhere between $23,000 and $24,000 in interest payments, and knocked almost right around 2 years off the length of that mortgage. We do this again and again and again, and what happens is it pays off the average 30-year mortgage in about 8 to 11 years. I have a client. He's age 60. He has a $780,000 mortgage that's maybe 2 years old, so about 28 years left on it. He had no retirement plan. Because I sometimes work with clients that they're just working with, how am I ever going to stop working? Using this particular mortgage accelerator and the software, we spent less going out, yet we reduced his mortgage and paid it off completely in 15 years. At the same time, we took the balance of what we saved and we put it into a retirement plan because he had zero in retirement savings. And we put that in there for 10 years only. And then we let it sit there for the next 5 years while he continued to work to pay off the mortgage. At the end of the day, this man will retire at age 75. He'll own his home free and clear. Gone is the mortgage. All his debt will be gone. And he'll be earning a little more in income than he's earning today. I mean, that's what this can do. That's how powerful this technology is. And that's what it does for him. It's okay. Everybody gets confused on this.
That's what I'm getting from what you just said. My husband sort of has the same idea. He's been sending in every year an extra payment on his house. So you're saying that he took a line of credit out, even though we have no debt. We have no
I understand. But there's a mortgage.
There's a mortgage. So if we took a line of credit out and sent, say, your example, $5,000 from this line of
here, what I'm suggesting is that's the concept, but I would never do it without the software to tell me what to do. And here's why. If we send too much out of the line of credit, we can get into trouble. If we don't send in enough, we're not attacking the mortgage as efficiently. Does that make sense? The software will keep us right on. Her question was, her husband makes an extra payment each year. Is that correct? And she's saying, if he takes out a line of credit and does the same thing with a line of credit, would it do the job? And the answer is, she's close. And that's the concept. However, what we want to do is we want to use a software to tell us exactly how to do it. Here's why. One, the software, we're using the software, it's user-friendly. It takes about 10 minutes a month to do this. No big deal, and we're right on. Here's the best part. On the screen in the software, it tells us right to the month exactly when our mortgage will be paid off. And it allows for things along the way. Like, for example, over the next 10, 15 years, somebody's going to have a financial emergency. Absolutely. So we can use this line of credit to take care of those, and what it will do is turn around and adjust that number from, say, 8.6 years to maybe 10.7, so we always know where we are. We can use this for financial planning. For example, say, I'll give you an example. Somebody wants to buy themselves a toy, a jet ski, and they're going to be smart about it, and they're going to buy a $6,000 jet ski, and they're going to pay cash so they don't pay interest. Here's the problem. That $6,000 didn't go to the mortgage, and in the long run, because the software will show you this, that $6,000 jet ski actually cost them a little over $11,000. Why? Because it took them that much longer to pay down their mortgage, and that was how much it impacted their interest. So what the person can do now is make an intelligent, informed decision, say, maybe I don't want the $6,000 jet ski. The dealer had last year's model on sale for half price. I'll buy the $3,000 one instead. Does that make sense? In other words, it's just, if you're going to do it, just do it right, that's all.
What about the payment on the credit?
The software, good question. What about the payments on the line of credit? What we do is we use the line, now a line of credit we can use just like our checking account. What I mean by that is a checking account comes with checks, right? Comes with a debit card. A line of credit does the same thing. So we have our income, instead of deposited into our checking account, it gets deposited into the line of credit. Remember I said before a family has $5,000 coming in, and then there's $5,000 going out, and that was going to the thing? We have it deposited into the line of credit instead. Or if you couldn't deposit it to your line of credit, the line of credit is going to look at it as a payment. We simply have it deposited into our checking account, and then each month we deposit all of our income, we make a payment to the line of credit, and we pay all of our bills out of that. The software is monitoring how much is going in and how much is coming out. It's telling us all the time. We know right to the penny exactly where we are, and we know how that's going to impact our interest and our payments and how fast we pay off the mortgage. All of this is all tied together. I know it gets a little bit confusing. What I can do is I can send you information, and I have a about a 30-minute PowerPoint presentation just on this one piece of software that describes it all. If you see a picture's worth 1,000 words. And if you saw it, it'll make complete sense to you. But yes, you're very close to it. What I'm suggesting is the software will keep you right on track, and you'll know exactly what you're doing so that you don't get in trouble, as opposed to when we're just making a... No. If we use the line of credit to pay down, say, pay down the mortgage, what if we took too much out of the line of credit and we're not paying it back quick enough? Now, our interest rate might be 9%, and our mortgage might be, say, 6%. Now we're owing too much on the line of credit.
Yeah, but right now he's not having to borrow anymore.
And he has no idea when that mortgage will be paid off.
Right.
We're not... It's using the software with the line of credit. It's simply a system. It's simply a mortgage accelerator system that works. It works very well. Here's the best part. That particular system. Now, as I said, there were many systems. She wanted to know, do we need... Restate that again.
You have to have a line of credit in order to pay down...
She wanted to know, do we need a line of credit to pay down their mortgage? Using this particular... I'm talking about mortgage accelerators. There are many different types. This is one particular type. You could use any one that you want.
So this is for somebody who can't afford to make an extra payment out of
it? No, that is incorrect. No. This is for people who actually have discretionary income. She wanted to know, this is for people who can't afford to make an extra payment. What this does is it leverages that payment. And it's basically using banking principles and putting them in your favor as opposed to the banks. I'd be happy to send you some information on it so that you could learn about it, because it is something that works, and it works very, very well. Actually, using this particular system in some cases, if someone didn't have very much discretionary income left over to make that extra payment, it still speeds up the mortgage because of the way it works. What's that? The mortgage accelerator? There is a cost to it. It comes out of the whole system, and there's no out-of-pocket cost to a person when they use the system the way it works. It's just all part of it. It's not for everybody, by the way. This is definitely not for everyone. Using this particular mortgage accelerator, I like it because it works well. It works fast, and it's very, very flexible. That's why I like it. I use it. Restate your question for me.
I was just asking then if everyone buys...
Oh, is there a cost to it? That was right.
Accelerator.
The company that sells this particular software, it's called United First Financial. They do a financial analysis of every client. And if it's not right for the client, if the client doesn't meet certain requirements, they can't purchase the software. I mean, it's a company they have integrity. It works very, very well. It's not for everyone, but you would know ahead of time how much you're going to save in interest payments, how many months it's going to cut off your mortgage before you even purchased it. The way it's usually purchased is when someone takes out the line of credit. The line of credit doesn't cost anything, especially if you go to the right bank. The cost of the software comes right out of the line of credit, so there's no out-of-pocket expense directly for the client. And that works out very well for people.
So how much is the software?
The software runs $3,500. But say, for example, in my case, I did an analysis on my own mortgage, cut my 30-year mortgage down to 7.6 years, and saves me $470,000 in interest payments. Does $3,500 make any difference at that point? No. Does that make sense?
So you would give them, this company, your financial information, and then they would determine whether the mortgage accelerator fit?
It's really simple, actually. It can be done over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done using an email. And basically, it's a one-page form that someone fills out. It's based...
Your mortgage, your credit.
Income, et cetera, et cetera. And then what it does is that's put into an analysis software for that particular individual, and it spits out a 4-page report that shows exactly where everything's going and how it's going to work for that particular client.
Do you get that report?
You can get that report, yes. Actually, if you wanted a report, there's no cost for that report. If you wanted one, you can get one. And I can help you do that. That's one of the things I do for my clients, because what we want to do is we want to, the problem that most parents have, and this is why I include it in my programs often, not always, but often, is parents can get loans and financing to put their kids to school. The problem is paying it back in time to retire. Does that make sense? And that's what we want to do. Other questions? Yes.
Sorry, I have two just starting college, but can you get the tuition discount once they're already in there, or is it really based on being competitive between schools?
Tuition discounts are an individual thing.
Mm-hmm.
They vary from student to school. And basically, the reason a school would offer it is they're trying to entice a student to enroll there rather than somewhere else.
So once they're there, then your negotiation or ability to drop the tuition is gone.
I wouldn't
really
necessarily say that, but mm-hmm. I mean, for this year anyway, yes.
Right.
But possibly for next year,
mm-hmm.
I would apply. Absolutely, I would. Mm-hmm. Or to other schools as well.
Thank you.
Excuse me?
Do the state colleges offer them as well?
Do the state colleges offer them as well?
Sometimes they have different things, like if you're academically high, you can get certain things.
Absolutely. That's a tuition. That's her answer is correct. They're different. You know, if someone's grades are very high, which is what we've been talking about. In other words, schools are looking... Every school wants to attract a certain type of student, and they're competing with other schools that are trying to attract the same students. That's why they offer these types of discounts.
David, there's a question about
David.
Yes,
a question regarding the investment grade life insurance policies you're talking about. With different acquisitions going on and companies merging and what we're seeing, can you give advice as to the pros and cons and what you look for a safety net factor on those investments?
Restate that again, I'm sorry.
Okay, with insurance companies acquiring each other, what's the safety net factor for selecting an investment-grade life insurance policy?
Good question. When you say insurance companies acquiring each other...
They're merging, and there's all kinds of things going on.
Are you talking about... Well, see, there's all kinds of insurance companies.
Right.
There's health insurance companies, life insurance companies, property and casualty insurance companies. I'm talking about life insurance companies. And there's thousands of them.
So how do you make a good selection there that's safe over a long term?
Well, as an insurance agent, which I am, I specialize in that type of insurance. By the way, another tip and what I give my clients is whenever you're buying any insurance, always work with someone who specializes in that particular type of insurance of what you want. You want a specialist because it's just too big. There are several companies that I like. Aviva is one. They're huge. They're global. AIG is another. They're the largest insurance company in the world. Allianz, another huge. They probably have 60 million customers around the world. Those are all good. I like them because they have very good payouts, meaning returns. They're A-plus rated companies. They're stable. And their benefits and their underwriting is good. There's a few others, but those are the ones that I like. Life of the Southwest is another one that is just great. What I generally do when I work with a client is we have a form that we have the client sign. It's basically a records authorization form. It's probably the brokerage that I work with, probably 20, 30 companies that we can shop the business to. And we'll look at illustrations of between maybe the top one or two or three companies of where we want to be. And then we'll choose which one comes out for that particular person. Because what company is good for one person isn't necessarily better for another person, maybe because of age or because of health. Some companies, their underwriting department, because remember, we have to. This is life insurance, so we have to pass a test, a physical. Some companies have more liberal underwriting guidelines. Some companies have tighter underwriting guidelines. As a result, some may do better on the investment side for us. On the other hand, that's only one small part of it. It also has to do with how good is the insurance company themselves at working with the money. The ones that I just mentioned are very, very good. And they're pretty accurate in their illustrations. And what we do is we'll turn around and in most, I'd say 80 to 90% of the time, I can pick out the right company for someone first time out. That being said, if there are medical conditions involved, then it becomes a shopping issue, and we want to find out which company is going to be give the client the best rating, which is going to turn around and give them the best yield on their money. Does that make sense? Okay, it's an individual thing, and it takes a certain amount of work and knowledge on the agent and whoever's doing it for you.
Are there further questions? David, we thank you so much. Let's give him a hand, those of us who are
left. Thank you for having me.
This was very informative, and I thank you for your energy and your willingness to answer all the questions so patiently. Thank you very much for coming, everyone. We'll see you next month at Learn at Lunch. Bye-bye.
Thank you.